this me, this sense that we have from moment to moment of me, this sort of, this identity, you know, with all the things we add on to that then, this physical appearance, circumstances and all of that, we add on to it. But just that sensation, me, that is itself the avoidance of relationship. It's your own activity, this me. It is primary contraction at the subtlest level of consciousness, the level of the causal being. The level of subtle life through all the thoughts, endless differentiating process. It's just an endless stream of differentiation, separations, comparisons, contradictions. So thinking, this thought, that is the avoidance of relationship. That is itself that activity. Just as the me is at causal level, at the subtle level, all of this thinking is a contraction, a modification of the existing state, the constant state. At the grosser level, the vital level, there's that whole force of movement, of motivation, of desire, of isolated physical presence, of containment, limited energy, space, size. All of that sensation is itself this contraction, the avoidance of relationship. The beginnings of this insight are on the gross level, the ordinary level, the common life level. That's where it begins. It begins at the level of relationships in the usual sense. That's why the guru in human form can initiate this spiritual process, because it's in human terms, on the life level, the level of relationships, that this insight begins. So he enters into relationship to you. And he continually operates to bring you to the point of observing that that the whole world process is a vast, interrelated, relational condition. You have no extensions, no functions that are not relational in nature. To me, it was very... There was a moment in my life when I observed something about my physical body that was to me very important. When you're dealing only with your interior sense, you know, the me and its whole search for release and all of that, the more interior you become and motivated you are by your dilemma and your search, the less you begin to examine the conditions that exist apart from your own subjectivity. But there are signs in the midst of everything that appears in the cosmos that tell you fundamentally what the nature of the cosmos itself is. At one point I just became free enough to see my own body. I remember I was looking at my hands. And the hands are entirely made for relationship. What else are they made? What else could a hand possibly do except deal with something? It's always existing relative to something. What are the fingers made for? The shape of the hand? Everything about it is for grasping, for contact. The feet are the same. All the sense organs are forms of contact, of relationship. This vast subjectivity is just a program that reflects all these moments of relational experience from the past, fundamentally. It is itself an organ of relationship to other more vital, gross mechanisms, physical forms, senses, the body shapes. It wasn't that I looked at my hand and it became sort of an argument and I was convinced of it through the process of my sadhana up to that time. This openness, this natural ease in relation to the world just arose, and I looked at the world and saw that the world was this vast universe. In other words, it was one in the sense that it was all interconnected. Everything was systematically related to everything else, and everything was a form of relationship, not a form of isolated identity. Such a notion as isolated identity was completely false. The hand can be made into a fist and have a sense of, and you can have a sense that it is isolated, separate. But all you're doing is reading a sensation, and that is itself a form of relationship. But fundamentally, everything always exists in the condition of relationship. The whole universe is made up of relationships. Everything that exists, every function that appears, is an instrument of relationship. At the same time I saw this, I saw that my own activity, what I experience as my own activity from moment to moment, was antagonistic to that. But from then on, I began to understand something about my own activity. After the moment when I saw that fundamentally all things, including my own fundamental condition, was relational in nature, after that moment I began to see something about my own turning. I began to comprehend it. So this grasping of the relational nature of life, the fundamental nature of your condition prior to all of your own activities, is very important. Just as the child sees its own negative activity, badness, in relation to the mother who has held him for so long, just so the insight into the whole pattern of Narcissus depends on having seen fundamentally and already what your condition is. So the guru does not simply say, you know, read these books and observe yourself in this sort of way and see this and that and then ask yourself this question. He doesn't give it all out as a method. He enters into relationship with devotees. He lives in satsang with devotees. He communicates his siddhi, his presence, to devotees. So the devotees begin to awaken to the sense of their condition, to their relational state, their non-separate state. And over against that, they will begin to see their separativeness and comprehend it. But the prior spontaneous realization of satsang, or the relational condition, is necessary to the way of understanding. And all the insight and subtle processes of the way of understanding are dependent on that realization of satsang. So until the devotee has entered into that relationship with the Guru in its fullest sense, until he has become a devotee in relation to one who is Guru, until that has actually occurred, the whole affair of understanding is fundamentally impossible. Because you can't see your turning until you grasp that from which you are turning. Until you grasp that which precedes this turning.